They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I am Sue Bartholomew, and today we're going to Pennsylvania. We're going to talk about a couple of homeowners in Pennsylvania who have been having incredible problems with their associations, and I think it's a good time to put these on the skyline and let the whole world know about them. The first one is Katie Souders. Katie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
So tell us, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, besides everyone in the community being miserable, what's going on is we have a very small community, about 37 townhomes, and two board members.
That's it?
I'm sorry, what?
That's it? Just two board members?
Just two board members. Our documents say we're supposed to have a minimum of three, but that they haven't held any meetings, elections, or anything. I've even told them I have interest in being in the board, but of course, since I'm not on good terms with them, they've just ignored that and pretty much ignore everyone else. They don't want anyone else on the board because they want total control.
Now, why does that not surprise me?
It's crazy, and the fact that the one board member, his father, owns our management company. So when I communicate with the father, who sends me my fines every week, because I have a railing outside my house that I was allowed to build or have built for me. The issue is I attached a gate to my railing because in downtown Philadelphia, most houses are surrounded by some type of bar or restaurant. And where I'm at, I had a problem with people doing drugs, drinking, and you name it on my steps was going on. So I attached this little garden gate, like a big gate, it's shorter than the railing, just to deter people from sitting on my steps. Because I've even been, when I chase people off my steps for loitering, they would say some kind of nasty comments to me, and one person even pulled me out of the house. So I told the board about the safety issues that I have, and that's why I put this gate on my railing. And they said that I have to remove it. And I said no, because of my safety, and they won't do anything to help me. So the way that they are helping me with this issue is fining me $100 a week for this attachment I put on my railing to keep people from sitting on my steps and doing all types of activities on my steps.
Okay, you say there's 37 units, townhouses.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually own the land?
I own the land, the building. I had my documents reviewed by an attorney who said that he's never seen anything like this where they have total control over the exterior, even though we own the land. And it says that our documents also say that any changes outside need to be approved by an architectural committee.
Right.
They mention all of these committees. We don't have any such thing. We just have two board members who and a management company in cahoots that are have control over everything. We don't have a say. So I got my petition that asked everyone for support, although they told me, no homeowners have a vote in this matter. It's just lie after lie. Obviously, that's not true.
Well, it's... I want to go back to this gate, and I want to go back to this rail that you have. So you have a townhouse, and presumably you've got a sidewalk in front of your townhouse, and you walk in off the sidewalk onto your property, right?
Yes. Off of the sidewalk is my steps. I have two steps, and then along the two steps I have the railing. It's not on the community or public sidewalk. It's on my own property.
So the railing is something that you hang on to?
Is yes.
Yes. Katie?
It's there for support. It's actually good for my mom when she comes. Like, she uses it.
Okay, so it's a railing, and it's like a regular on the side of the steps. And so it's on that you put the gate to prevent people from coming in?
Yes, the railing's not even touching the ground. It's just on the steps that are on my property.
And so they're fining you $100 a week for that?
Yeah, and they won't do anything for my safety. I said, well, what can we do here? I said, this is working so far. I'm not having anyone do any of these things on my steps. I can open my front door. I can walk out the door without getting harassed. They said, what I can do is I can call the cops, and I can invest in my own security cameras, and I can go to the expense of doing all these things, and they'll do nothing for me.
So what's the reason they want you to remove the gate? Did they give you a reason? Is it because it wasn't approved, or it's
the
not
reason
allowed?
Is aesthetics.
It's aesthetics. So $100 a week versus $400 a month. Right.
Not to mention they just started pursuing or filing in the Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas.
Filing what?
They said that they are going to, they said, our bylaws say that you can't have a structural addition. So I I spoke with a structural engineer and several contractors, and they said a railing is not a structure. A structure needs to be able to support a substantial amount of weight, and a structural addition would be something that increases the square footage of your home. So I was told, I don't have a structure, and our bylaws say no structural addition. So I told them I didn't break any laws, and they said that we'll let the judge decide what I did or didn't do. So that's why they decided to take it to court.
So what's going to happen in court? Do you have an attorney?
No, I had one, and it was just getting expensive. And then I sought the legal advice of another attorney who's been giving me advice free. He's not representing me. Like, I don't have a contract with him. He's just been giving me advice since he doesn't do litigation. He said my best bet is to do what I have done, get 51% or more of the homeowners to sign a petition saying that they're in support of my gate I attached to my railing and that they should be able to have one as well. And I'm not even done getting everyone signature, and I'm already at 67%.
So you've exceeded the 51%. You've been. It sounds like you've been reading your governing documents, right?
Yeah, and what's unfortunate is the declarations. The bylaws are very archaic. They were copied from a really old website from like the early 90s or something. So these bylaws are just. They don't even make any sense. So that's what I went off of, and the declarations that I was supposed to receive, I never received them from the realtor, which is unfortunate because I could have backed out of purchasing this home. But anyway, in the declarations, it does say that they have control over the exterior. So with that being said, they can decide, like some of the neighbors have 50-gallon trash drums that they're using as rain barrels, because I think you get a tax deduction. So you can have an eyesore like that in front of your house, whereas I have like a custom-made gate to keep people off my steps, which is like really nice, and I've had comments on it. So it's just they pick and choose what they want, and they determine what's a violation and what isn't. It's just awful, and they just have to get rid of them.
But it's called selective enforcement. They don't like you, so they go after you. All right, I want to go back to your declaration.
Mm-hmm.
In your declaration is also known as the Declaration of Covenants, Conditions, and Restrictions. And that's where your property rights and your restrictions mm-hmm. are enumerated and what the association is and is not allowed to do. Is there anything in your governing document, in your declaration, that gives the association the authority to fine?
I have to go over that.
Need to go over that, Katie, and you need to make sure that there's nothing in there, because if it's not in there, then that's something when you do go to court is to point out that there is nothing in there. Look at where it says in the governing documents the board's authority for enforcement, and it should spell it out. It should tell you exactly what the board can do to enforce the governing documents, to enforce the covenants. And if fines are not in there when you do go to court, please bring that up.
What about the, like they mention fines in our bylaws, but the bylaws are very gray. They're not like clear cut saying.
Okay, the bylaws, and again, I don't think it, I think, and I'm not an attorney, so, but I think that the fines should be in the covenants. The bylaws are easier to amend and they're easier to change. So quite often what board members will do is they will go in and they will change the bylaws because they can do it much easier. And then they'll try to make it act like a covenant. In fact, it's the restrictions that should be in the covenants. Read the covenants and read what it says about the board's authority and the ability to enforce the covenants. It should tell you what the board can do. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, because there's a hierarchy of documents, okay? The covenants trump the bylaws. So, and it should tell you in the bylaws, there should be a thing, I don't care how archaic they are, they should tell you that in the event of a discrepancy between the bylaws and the covenants will control.
Okay.
Okay? So check out, get to know those covenants very, very, very well. How old is your association?
I guess, do you mean the actual, like, when it was formed?
When it was built.
I guess it was 2006, early 2007, probably.
Oh, so not that old then?
No.
Okay. Okay. Check it out. It's unfortunate because sometimes the newer ones do allow for fines. But check it out. I don't know what the law in Pennsylvania would be. But see what it says in there about the authority that the HOA has to enforce things.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I definitely will check that out. My best bet, honestly, to resolve my situation is probably to just do another petition for the removal. But what's sad about this whole thing is that, like, everyone kind of has the same opinion as me, in that they're not happy with what's going on, and some people say they want to move. But getting people to just speak up instead of just sit there and take it is really hard.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear out there. I mean, there's no doubt that there's a lot of fear. Quite often, quite often what will happen is they're afraid that if they say anything and stand up to defend you, then the board will turn around and go after them, which they will.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Which they will. So there's no question about that. And that's quite understandable. That's absolutely understandable as to what, you know, why that happens. So what else is going on? So you've had a petition. You also had a party. You invited some of the people who signed your petition.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to hear other stories to know, you know, I'm not the only one on their hit list. Just some of the ridiculous violations are, some people work late, so on trash day, our trash day is Thursday, so they don't get home. It's a pretty young community, so some people might not get home till 2-3 in the morning. They work two jobs, some people, and their trash can is sitting out all night until they come home from work, because not everyone takes everyone's can and puts it up in front of their house, so they get fined for that. Other issues are trash blowing in the wind. People might be away and have a piece of trash sitting in front of their house, like newspapers or flyers. Another guy that was at my party said he's been fined for unidentified trash.
Unidentified trash?
Yeah, meaning, like, it's not, like, it doesn't have his name on it. It's not, like, a piece of mail that has his name and address. It's just sitting in front of his house, so it's considered unidentified trash.
And he's getting fined.
Yeah, he was fined, I think he said $50 for that.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane. So the neighbors have been on the receiving end of some of this insanity.
Oh, yeah. So most people are very unhappy, and I think I have the most expensive fine because mine's every week, but they're getting hit left and right because we're, like, in downtown Philadelphia, no matter where your house is, there's a lot of, like, businesses. Like, I'm surrounded by two bars on each end of the block, and then the other side of the community, they're surrounded by this place that hosts a lot of events, and there's parties and people standing outside. So they get all kinds of trash and you name it in front of their house as well. So it's hard, especially in this area. It's not very, it's residential, but it's like city-like over here. It's not, I don't know what they think this community is, like where they think we're living. We're not out in, like, the middle of the suburbia. You're going to have trash and noise and things like that to deal with. But these board members are just, they won't budge on anything. It's bad.
So you've got, when you're looking at your governing documents, also check and see what it says to amend the governing documents. It's going to be a super majority.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like if you've got 67%, I don't know, out of 37, I don't know what the magic number is going to be to amend your governing documents, but consider amending them and stripping the board of some of these powers. If there is something in there about fines, get rid of it, because it is unconstitutional. And make sure that annual meetings are held so that the members, and, you know, no, have term limits. You know, have everybody run and get elected every year.
Yeah, I think because of the way It's kind of like the board members just make it seem like such a miserable thing, like a thankless job, when it doesn't have to be like that, especially because the total consensus I received is everyone says, yeah, I just want to be able to vote on things. Like, they've changed our management company to the board member's father's company without even consulting any of us. So nobody knew. It was just like we just got a letter in the mail saying our new management company is such and such. And they didn't disclose that it was the board member's father's company, which is a, I mean, it's a conflict of interest if we think it is, which most of us do agree that it is, because
it is. It is. It's nepotism. I mean, it's bad business.
Yeah, and we found this out actually before we even got the letter. I think it was somebody was moving and you needed that 5407 resale document or something like that. And typically I think it's about $100 or $150. And then the person was charged $300. They're like, why is it $300? Because that's the new fee that our new management company, that they failed to ask us if we wanted one, charges for this document. It's just that people want to be able to make these decisions, and I think it's just better for all of us, but it's like I feel like I'm doing this fight by myself. I received an email from another resident saying, thank you for doing this fight, and I emailed them back. I said, oh, you're welcome, but, you know, maybe you can speak up too. I was like, more people help than just me. I'm like, I can't do it alone.
Yeah, you can't do it alone. And because it has to be the will of the majority. So check, you know, get to know those governing documents really, really well.
Which is so hard to understand.
The declaration is the one that you really want to know. There's a hierarchy in documents, but there's also a different function for both sets of documents. The declaration touches and concerns the land. It has to do with the property itself, okay? Mm-hmm. That's where you're going to find out whether you're allowed to put an addition on, whether you're only allowed to have three rose bushes in your front yard, whatever the restrictions are. And some restrictions are pretty damned idiotic.
Well, this is what I do know about the governing or the declarations. See, it mentions, like I said earlier, the architectural committee.
Yes.
We do not have one. We just have, like I said, these two board members. But it says the architectural committee shall consist of three members.
Yes.
We only have those two guys.
Yes.
So yes. I don't know if that voids anything that they've fined or approved or what.
Here's the thing. If you have an architectural control committee and you go to the architectural control committee and you ask them for permission to put in a gate, and the architectural committee says it's not in our, we cannot approve that because we don't have it in our guidelines. So you have a way of appealing that decision, and you go to the board. And that's why you have two separate bodies of involved here, so that if the architectural control committee says, look, we cannot allow you to, I mean, we don't have a problem with it, but we cannot just give you approve this without discussing it with the board, then you have that appeals process where you can go to the board and say, look, you know, these people are coming into my yard, they're coming into my home, one guy came in and dragged me out, this has to be for my safety, so I hope you will approve it. That gives you the appeal thing, and if you have a reasonable board, they're going to say, yes, absolutely. I mean, we can amend the guidelines. There's nothing to prevent you from having it. We can amend the guidelines and include a gate in there. But we want it to be wrought iron. We want it to be painted black. We want, you know, and they're going to have that ability to do that. But there's no appeals process here. You know, if you've got two guys who are making all the decisions, where do you go for an appeal? To court? That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
I know. It's pretty awful. I've already received a letter from their attorney, so it looks like like the management company said, the judge will decide. Unless I can get this board removed before it goes there and somehow get myself on the board, or anyone that voted in my favor would stop this process. So that's the only thing I can do now.
Well, that's one of them. That's absolutely one of them. You may have to go to court, and it sounds like you may have to represent yourself. So you're going to have to do a lot of homework, and you're going to have to know what's going on. Also understand, you know, I started to tell you that there's a difference between the documents, the function of the documents. Your covenants, your declaration, concerns the property itself. The bylaws typically tell you how the association's going to run. And that's where you're going to have somebody, you know, it's going to say you're going to have a board made up of 3 members. You're going to have a board made up of 5 members. You're going to have annual meetings, and the annual meetings are going to be at such and such a time. And people are going to be elected, and you're going to have 3 officers. And, you know, it should give you, it should tell you exactly how the association's going to be run. Not so much that, you know, you can't have a gate. That's not where that belongs. That's not part of the bylaws.
Yeah, there's no sense in even asking these 2 board members for anything, because they've already made their mind up that the answer is no before you even ask them. Because I asked them, I asked the father who's been emailing me of the management company if they would have approved the gate ever. If you know, I went to them firsthand and said this, that, and they said no. So it didn't matter whether I just put it on or not, they would have said no.
So you've got the gate and it's protecting you now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's something else that you're going to want to bring up to the judge if you end up in court, that it is for your protection, it is for your privacy. We're kind of running out of time here, Katie, but tell me something very quickly. You've called the police too, right?
Yeah, I've called the police numerous times. And I guess since the city has very high crime rate, I complained about the cops not showing up, and they said, you know, we have, you know, more pressing issues than loitering and things like that. So, and by the time the cops say that they do actually, they get to it when they get to it, but by the time they get to it, the problem's either gone and I have to pick up all the trash or clean up whatever hazardous waste they've left there. At that point, it's too late.
So you're pretty much stuck. They're not going to come and do anything to protect you.
No.
Did they patrol the
showed up. I've seen them once, and that was for another issue. I called because I saw someone's vehicle being damaged right out front. But if it's something for, like, personal safety or loitering, they're not going to show up.
But if a car's damaged, then they'll be there, right?
Yeah, it was crazy. I couldn't believe it. They were here within 2 minutes.
I was going to say, any chance that they could have someone patrolling your street?
I actually just did online. I've been contacting the police, our district, to ask them to have like a supervisor drive by. That's been ignored. So I just did another request online requesting that they start driving by and patrolling this area, as it's a nuisance area and high drug and over-served, like intoxicated people hanging out. And I guess my issue is that several neighbors face the same issue I have with people hanging out on our front steps and doing things. But I'm the corner house and I live alone. Most the other people are like, there's a tall, big guy, he's like 6'4". He lives a couple doors down. Like, he comes to the door and they run away. And the other houses, there are like two or more people living in it. It's just a little bit scary for me being alone. I don't really want to open that front door.
So you're pretty much alone. Katie, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Please keep in touch. Let me know.
I definitely will.
Let me know how you're making out. Get to know your documents, because I can guarantee you nobody else knows them.
Oh, I know that.
Nobody else. The judge isn't going to know them unless you point these things out to them. The attorneys don't take the time to read them. So check your declaration. And go in there, if you end up in court, go in there armed with everything you've got.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thank you so much.
Good luck.
All right.
Okay. Everybody stay tuned, because when we come back, we're still in Pennsylvania. Joining us for the second half, we have our guest from last week, Andy Ostrowski, who is running for Congress from the 11th District in Pennsylvania, and he's got a whole lot of issues that he's dealing with, one of them being the HOA issue, and he's trying to find out and figure out what his constituents need. Andy, you're new to the HOA issue, but I think that you understand that there is a big problem, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think I have an understanding of it from the broad brush constitutional underpinnings of the whole thing, which, even though, you know, there's a lot of details on people's individual situations that I need to learn, I think ultimately we're going to get to these core fundamental issues with these policies.
So during the first half of the program, we talked to somebody from Pennsylvania, Katie Souders, who owns she's in Philadelphia and she bought a townhouse. And apparently right on her street they have bars and restaurants and all kinds of things that are going on, and there's a lot of loitering and drunks coming out and hanging out on her street. And she put up a little gate because somebody came up her steps, grabbed her, and pulled her out of her house. And she needed to feel safe. So she put up a gate. And the board's been going after her. They've been fining her $100 a week. That's $400 a month, Andy, because she's got a gate up to protect herself.
Uh-huh.
You're constitutionally inclined attorney. And do you know that two courts in the country have found fining by an association to be unconstitutional?
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Then that's an encouraging sign, because that's absolutely, in my opinion, the correct result. It's, you know, deferring that police power to a private corporation is just, you know, repugnant to the very nature of our constitutional system.
So is there anything do you think that you could do at the federal level on this fining issue? Because people are losing their homes over fines.
Yeah, and that's how fundamentally it would need to be challenged. Now, recognize that, you know, I'm not currently a licensed attorney, but, you know, no one can deprive me of the knowledge and, you know, that I've had in dealing with constitutional law. But this is a delegation of a police power to a private entity, and that certainly would be open to attack on a federal level. You know, the exact form and nature, you know, I'd have to think about and process and evaluate how to go about that. But that's the way to go after this. It would be an unconstitutional delegation of state power by law through legislation, because I don't believe that these homeowners associations and condominium associations or anything else out there has these powers to fine unless they are delegated to them by statute. And if they're not delegated to them by statute, well, that's just a totally rogue, lawless system then.
Well, it is, and this may be news to you, but I'm not an attorney either. So, I've been reading. I play one on the air, Andy. I like to say that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, don't say it too much because there's lawyer disciplinary boards. They get jealous of their authority.
Well, I'm not an attorney, and I'll be very honest about that. But yeah. I have been reading up about it. I do know that there are two cases. One of them is the Virginia Supreme Court ruling, and notwithstanding that, the Virginia legislature went ahead and gave the associations the power and the authority to fine people.
Uh-huh.
And they said, you can sign away your rights, so go ahead and sign away your rights.
Yeah, and I think that one of the issues, and I've been learning a little bit more about this, I'm 1 week away from Election Day, and but I am continuing to try to look at these issues as they developed, and it's this whole money management aspect of these associations. And I suspect that there's a lot of financial misdealings and accounting shenanigans, that these people are using these funds for, their own personal enrichment. And, and then they have these attorneys who abuse the people in response to protect their own wrongdoings. I mean, that seems to be, another aspect of this thing that's going on in this system.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, if you go in and just Google HOA and embezzlement, you'll find out that millions of dollars have been embezzled from homeowners.
Uh-huh.
And that, in my opinion, is only the tip of the iceberg. And the reason I say that is because I have heard of so many other stories. Associations are afraid of letting people know because they think it's going to devalue property. So a lot of that is just swept under the rug. People are embarrassed. They won't bring it up. So not all of that sees the light of day, and I think that the millions that we see is just really, really a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, that's typically how those things go.
And if you call the police and you say, hey, I think somebody's been caught with their fingers in the cookie jar, would you investigate? Oh, no, it's a civil matter. Go to court. But then trying to get a hold of the paperwork, the association records, I mean, they don't have to give it to you.
Yeah, they say it's a private matter, right?
Well, they'll tell you you're not entitled to it, and, oh, we've lost it, and we haven't found it, or you can't get it, and you don't have to have all of that stuff. So people are just stuck, and they end up having to just eat the losses. But the other thing that we're hearing a lot of, Andy, is you get one or two board members who are board members for life. They're entrenched. They don't hold meetings. They don't have annual elections. They just issue orders. And they have the power to increase assessments, to collect assessments, to fine people, to charge people whatever they want to charge for whatever reason. And away we go. I mean, the lady I was talking to is being fined $100 a week, but she had a party at her house for some of her neighbors because she wanted to get a feel for where everybody was, and she said most of them are miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people in her little neighborhood are just extremely unhappy, and they all had these horror stories. People were getting fined for all kinds of things, including, she said, somebody was fined for unidentified trash. I said, what's unidentified trash? Well, trash was blowing, and it was found in front of his unit, and therefore he was fined. I mean, there's no clear indication that it's his.
Uh-huh.
It was just unidentified trash, and there you go. There's a fine.
Well, and this gets us right back to, everything that we've talked about last week. I mean, these abuses that are built into this system or protected by the system, and it's all, at its core, is this, delegation of the powers traditionally reserved to your municipalities and, the accountability that the right to vote and being a taxpayer and, public servants are bonded for what they do. And, they have those kind of accountability issues built or factors built into into their positions, whereas you are completely losing that with these HOA boards. And, you know, you're having a situation where, you know, some busybody or other, or somebody who just, you know, has never had any power authority in their life, that, you know, they get in and they get a seat on one of these HOA boards and just are, you know, they tend to abuse their power, and they realize that ultimately there's really no check on them. Because, you know, and the other aspect of this thing is the way the attorneys, I mean, you probably, you know, they would, these HOA boards, I'm sure, have attorneys, but, you know, who do the HOA members have? They have to go hire their own private attorney, pay those kind of hourly rates to a private attorney to handle these matters. They're probably counting on these HOA board attorneys to at least give them fair and balanced advice, but, you know, they're not realizing that the attorney's, you know, duty and obligation is to the HOA board. So it's, you know, it's a really skewed system against the poor homeowner here. And I'm just, you know, the premise of the call was that woman in Philadelphia. I mean, you know, this issue of her. I mean, do you have a status of that? I mean, let's try to, you know, give her some help here. I mean, she's getting fined for having a gate up after she was attacked getting into her own house, so she loses the right to defend her own property. I mean, that again would be a core. I mean, and if I can ask, where are the police in this?
Well, you know? That's a good question, Andy. That's an extremely good question. I've asked her, have you contacted them? Oh, yeah, they said they had more pressing matters than loitering. Well, yeah, because by the time when something happens, you know, the guy is gone. Like, the guy who came pulled her out. By the time she calls the police, you know, is the guy still there? No. Well, there's no sense in our coming out because there's nothing we can do at this point.
Huh. I wonder if they would do that if it was a homeowner outside of an association. Was that lazy police work, or was that... You know, did that have to do with her being in the HOA?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a really good question, by the way. I asked her, I said, well, okay, so you call them and you say, look, these bars are closing down and all these people are getting out of the bars and they're on my street and I've got drug paraphernalia, I've got empty beer cans, I've got trash that I'm going to have to go and pick up tomorrow. Can you just kind of clear this up?
Yeah.
Well, no, we have more pressing issues than loitering. So I said, well, did you ask the police to do maybe drive-bys? Just come through, and if they see a bunch of people there, clear them out? Well, again, they're not going to do it. She's requested that a number of times.
Uh-huh. And do they have security? Do they have their own private security?
No, it's a really small association with 37 townhouses. And my guess is that it's just a little urban infill that, you know, some developer found a chunk of land and threw up 37 townhouses and set up an association.
Okay.
And, you know, off you go.
Yeah.
Off you go. It's not, you know.
Well, this points up a whole additional problem in the area. You know, does this cause things like lax law enforcement? You know, do police presume that there is security in these kind of areas? You know, taking this public accountability out of this equation is a very big problem, and it's going to cause a police problem. It's going to cause, you know, risk people's lives, and it's just kind of, you know, causing me to think about another whole aspect of this thing. You know, people are going to be at risk here by this because of this lack of public accountability.
People are at risk, Andy, and if the board, when this started happening, I thought that there's something wrong with this, but I've heard about it from too many people in too many different parts of the country and too many different associations for it to be merely coincidence. But if you have a homeowner who goes in and says, I want to see the financial records, or when are you going to have an annual meeting, and can I run for the board? You know, anything like that, anybody who raises an embarrassing question, asks an embarrassing question, raises an embarrassing point, is deemed to be a troublemaker, a malcontent, someone who's trying to derail it. So the board will call the police, and they'll say, that Andy, he's always asking, he's just going to disrupt the meeting. Will you come and take care of him? The police will be there. They will arrest you. They will put handcuffs on you. They'll throw you in the back of the cruiser and keep you there during the duration of the meeting.
Well, there's your hook for the constitutional action. I mean, there's case law that when private actors, and if these HOAs really want to call themselves private actors, when they work in conjunction with conspiracy, for lack of a better term, with officials of the state, then they become effectively officers of the state, and they can individually be sued as state actors under color of law, under 42 United States Code, Section 1983, and charged with the violation of these individual rights, which in that case would be the First Amendment right to speak and, a Fourth Amendment seizure. So those kind of cases, there's a clear constitutional damages remedy for. The other situations that we were talking about on the delegation of authority to the HOA board, that's a little more, it's a clear constitutional issue, but it's a little more murky in terms of trying to evaluate where the remedy is. And, I don't know how much time we have left here, but I do want to say, I got 1 week to go till this election, and win or lose. I mean, if I win, I'm hoping that sometime, I got to see how things go, but sometime in the next few months, we can organize some kind of forum to really, kind of structure how we're going to address these issues. And even if I lose, I'm still going to be, I've got the Pennsylvania Civil Rights Law Network, and I've been working with this group here in central Pennsylvania, the Hidden Valley Homeowners Association, Hidden Valley, Hidden Truce Webs, just a really crazy situation where they're really mistreating the homeowner there with really, really horrendous conditions of her condo unit that has been unlivable for 14 years. So, I will be a voice of the homeowners association community, win or lose, in some form or another. And so we can, think about, and I want to offer to you and your listeners, let's figure out how we want to structure this. I'm willing to take any kind of leadership role that you want in this in the future. So, let's think about structure and planning and organizing and, coming together nationally to unite on this issue.
Senator John Glenn, when he was in office, and we're going back a number of years, probably close to 25 or so, actually had scheduled public hearings on the problems with HOAs. They were nowhere near as bad as they are now. But the CAI, we think, the CAI lobbyist convinced him that there was nothing wrong. It was just a few malcontents.
Right.
Over the ensuing years, of course, there's been so much more power given to associations that, they're so completely and totally out of control. But I really like some of the stuff that you're coming up with in terms of the constitutionality of this. So whatever you do, I hope you are. I hope you are elected, and I hope you do get into Congress, because I'd like to see something done at the national level.
I think that's where it needs to be attacked. It's a national problem right now. It's an epidemic.
It is, but what they're going to tell you is that it's the state laws.
I understand.
Yeah, you know all about that. I don't have to explain
that's,
it
that's
to
why
you.
That's why you need somebody who has, a lot of legislators out there. They hear that. They hear, oh, that's a state issue, and they shy away from it. But if you understand the nature and structure of the United States Constitution and the enumerated powers delegated to the Congress and the scope and extent of the Commerce Clause power, these are matters that are crossing state lines and affecting people across the country, and I think it's a national commerce issue.
All right. We've got a few minutes left, Andy. I'm going to assume that you have been elected and you are the next congressman from the 11th District in Pennsylvania, and you are going to Washington. Can you give us in just a few minutes an idea of how we start attacking this from the national level, how you think it's going to happen at the national level, And maybe we can start preparing for that.
Well, you know, the first thing I would look at is exactly what we were just discussing. You know, you need to respect the, you know, term federalism in the system, and that there are spheres of jurisdiction between the states and the United States Congress. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be pushing the intrusion into, you know, exclusively state court issues. So the first thing I would do is just research that issue a little bit more and shore up the fact that there is a firm. I feel very strongly that there is. You know, this is happening across the country. You know, these are federal constitutional issues. I believe that they would implicate the Commerce Clause power. And from there, you know, it would be a matter of researching which committee in Congress, you know, would be the best suited, you know, the housing, or, you know, I'm not even sure what all the committees are, but what committee would be the best to start looking at to try to get access to have a hearing on these types of issues. And it's just networking. That's a very good question, and unfortunately I'm not answering it as well as I'd like to, because I mean, I've kind of been stuck on Election Day and not looking past Election Day too much to how to specifically organize my power. But, you know, I guess the first thing I would do, I mean, there's a couple people that I've been in touch with, you know, across the country, and they're national leaders. I'd probably reach out to them and assemble some kind of team and, you know, say, you guys put together a plan of what you want. And, you know, let's look at that plan. Let's evaluate its you know, the constitutional power and authority of the Congress to act. Let's look at the particulars of a plan. And then let's just see if we can, you know, request a hearing, start hearings on these issues, start the process of, you know, the legislative process and see where it winds up. I mean, if national legislation is appropriate, you know, then that's the avenue that we need to go with it. And my instinct, you know, without having researched in tremendous detail, is that, yes, this is a national problem, and it's affecting 60 million people across the United States. I think that there'd be clear authority for the Congress to act here. So that's, you know, that's not a real specific plan. Those are just some ideas off the top of my head. It probably wasn't as clear as I would want to be, but, you know, we can fill in those details as we go with this.
Well, I want to thank you because you jumped in here. I had someone else scheduled to be on because I wanted to make sure that we presented some of the issues and the problems that you're having in Pennsylvania with HOAs, because Pennsylvania is not one of the states we normally hear from. We hear from Florida, we hear from California, we hear from Arizona, we hear from predominantly the Sunshine. Yeah, Texas, a lot of these, Virginia, we have all of these states that have some of the really horrendous problems. And once in a blue moon, Pennsylvania comes up. But I have been hearing from people in the Midwest, and a lot of people are terrified. They don't want to go out with their stories because they're afraid that they're going to get targeted and they're going to be abused even more. So there's that real fear factor involved.
Uh-huh.
But I'm so glad that it's Pennsylvania that's putting this up. And that you are going to be, you know, that you're making this an issue, that you're putting it on the skyline, well, that you're working on it.
Yeah, and you raise a good point there, Shu. I mean, maybe one of the first things that I would need to do if I get elected is I would need to reach out to the congressmen in the areas that you're talking about, you know, Florida and Texas, California, Arizona, you know, the more traditional HOA large community states, and, you know, network with them to, you know, say we got to start working for these people here, and see if I can get some of those people to get up and start taking a lead on these issues and see where they are in terms of their funding by CAI and, you know, things of that nature. But
I think you hit the nail on the head. Funding by CAI. They buy these legislators like, you know, like it's the oldest profession in the world, and I guess it probably is, but they do. They own them lock, stock, and barrel.
Well, we can try to always appeal to people on the personal level, and, you know, when people are suffering, you know, congressmen, legislators across the country have a responsibility to the people and not the money. You know, the slogan that somebody came up with for me that I kind of adopted as my own is, you know, they're about big money, we're about change. And, let's continue to be about change.
Well, I watched your debate, and I think one of the things you kept saying was that you wanted to represent the members of your district, and that means listening to them. So I do appreciate that. And I want to thank you for jumping in here and helping me finish out the show, and good luck next week.
Okay. And let's be in touch.
Oh, you bet. I'm not going anywhere, and I'm having you back on again. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Show. Enjoy your day.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.